I begin in the name of the Almighty God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, the one who has created everything in utmost perfection. And may the peace and blessings of the Almighty God be upon His pure and beloved messenger, the peak of His creation, the symbol of humanity, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. And his immaculate progeny of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, especially the leader of our time, the awaited Savior, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, Ajjalallahu ta'ala faraja. May Allah hasten his reappearance and make us all amongst his sincere and dedicated servants. Today, my dear brothers and sisters, we commemorate the legacy of one of the greatest soldiers of Islam who defended the greatest messenger of Allah, and that is Abu Talib. As some reports indicate, that he passed away on the 7th of the month of Ramadan. And in his honor this evening, I would like to dedicate our discussion to answering a very critical question. It's a question that we're all familiar with. Many people out there ask us. And many of us, alhamdulillah, have certainty about our faith, about our school of thought. But it's very important to articulate why we're on the right path. It's always helpful to present an overview of our teachings, of our beliefs, so that we're all on the right path. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us guidance. Many of us were born into families that had iman and faith, but we must be able to intellectually rationalize why we chose the path of Ahlul Bayt. Why are we the Shi'as of Ali ibn Abi Talib? So on this evening, we honor the father of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, and that is Abu Talib, by examining why are we Shi'as. If someone asks you a question, why are you a Shia? Why are you a follower of Ahlul Bayt? What responses would you give? In just a quick 25 minutes, I would like to present an overview of why I am Shia. And in stating why I am a Shia, in no way am I offending other schools of thought, but this is my right to express why I have chosen this path. So in these few minutes, I will share with you the main reasons why we are Shia. This is something that we must know, and this is a discussion that we must constantly have with our children. As we are raising them, they must be confident with their school of thought. Number one, I am Shia because when I look at Tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I find the most complete definition of Tawheed, the most complete belief in Tawheed, to be in the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. When you open books like Nahj al-Balagha and you hear Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam speak about Allah, he gives you the best understanding of God out there in the universe. I challenge anyone to bring a book like Nahj al-Balagha, like the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, that describe to you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was asked to describe Allah in two words. What's Tawheed? The Imam alayhi salam beautifully stated, "At-tawheedu an la tatawahhama wal-'adlu an la tattahima." You want me to describe Tawheed to you? Tawheed, don't subject God to the limits of your imagination. Because many people have done that. Allah is above anything that even comes to your mind. Allah is the infinite. Allah is the unlimited. Now look at some Muslim books these days, my dear brothers and sisters. They have ascribed physical qualities to God. This is Bukhari. It tells you that on the day of judgment, Allah will put his leg in hell, in Jahannam, such that Jahannam says, enough, enough, enough. I've been full now. This is in Bukhari. Millions of Muslims have believed in this throughout the centuries. But in the school of Ahlul Bayt, the Imams alayhim as-salam give us a very lofty, exalted image of who God is. Don't subject him to the limits of your imagination. And in fact, in Nahj al-Balagha, the Imam alayhi salam teaches us true tawheed even means you negate the sifat, nafyu sifati an. You negate the attributes from God. What does that mean? Allah is one essence. Don't think God has parts. God has an essence, and then part of it is knowledge, part of it is power, part of it is all these attributes that we read in the Quran. No, the Imam alayhi salam says, you want to really be a true muwahid? You want to not subject God to any limitations? Negate these attributes. Allah is knowledge. Allah is power. That's the most beautiful description that you will find in any school of thought. That is why I'm a Shia. Because by being a Shia, I have the best description of what it means to worship the true one Lord. And that's something that we get from the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. And the school of Ahlul Bayt is based on justice. Allah is just. I am Shia because this is the school of thought that truly proves to me God is just. وَالْعَدْلُ أَلَّا تَتَّهِمَهُ The Imam alayhi salam says, don't put any blame on God. Look at others, they put the blame on God. After Jamal, when Aisha was going back, they told her, why did you do this? Didn't you know this is Ali ibn Abi Talib? The Prophet had so much respect for him. Why did you fight him? She put the blame on God. She says, this is qadar. Qadarullah kana muqaddaran. This is the predestination. God has destined it. It's not my fault. God has destined everything. You see? You see how sometimes they have this view of predestination, but not in the school of Ahlul Bayt. In the school of Ahlul Bayt, yes, Allah plans many things, but at the end of the day, you're responsible for your actions. Don't ever put blame on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the first reason why I'm Shia, because it gives me the complete understanding of what Tawheed is. Secondly, the second reason why I'm Shia is because the school of Ahlul Bayt gives me the best, most pristine image of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, the greatest creation of God. Compare what we have from Ahlul Bayt and compare to what others have in their books. In my school, the first thing Allah created was the light of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He's the greatest of Allah's creations. He is infallible. The angels learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. But then look at some other schools of thought. Not all schools of thought believe that he was infallible. Look at Bukhari. Bukhari tells you the Prophet would stand and he would relieve himself. Is that the Prophet I want to believe in? Bukhari tells you the Prophet was mashur. He came under the spell of black magic, of sihr, such that Aisha says he didn't know what he was doing. He thought he did some things when he did not. Is that a Prophet I'm going to follow? And then the same Bukhari tells you from Abu Huraira that the Prophet once said, Ayyuma Muslimin sababtu. Any Muslim that I curse, right? That I slander, oh Allah, any Muslim, any mu'min, any true believer that I slander, make this as a means of forgiveness for them on the day of judgment. Maybe I will slander some people, haram, they don't deserve it, but I don't know. Ya Allah, make that as a means for their forgiveness. Is that a Prophet I'm going to follow? Who's going to slander believers? This is in Bukhari. And many, many other things that you find in Bukhari, my dear brothers and sisters, and these other schools of thought. I am a Shia because I'm honored not to believe in these things. I'm honored to believe in a messenger, in a prophet who's pure, chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the second reason why I'm Shia. The third reason why I'm a Shia is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi gave us a recipe. You want to achieve salvation? You want to avoid deviation? The Prophet famously stated in Hadith al-Thiqlain, I leave behind me the book of Allah and what? My family, my Ahlul Bayt. If you hold on to them, tamassaktum bihima, you shall never go astray. Today, my dear brothers and sisters, other Muslims, other schools of thought, they love the Prophet, they love his family. I don't dispute that. You cannot hate the Prophet's family and be a true Muslim. Other Muslims, they love the Ahlul Bayt. But did the Prophet say, love my Ahlul Bayt only? In Hadith al-Thiqlain, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi doesn't say, just love my Ahlul Bayt. What does the Prophet say? Tamassaktum bihima, hold on to them. Have you seen sometimes you're on a bus ride or a train ride and you're standing? If you don't hold on to the handle firmly, what happens? You've been on those buses, right? Sometimes at the airport or some other place. If you're standing on a train or a bus and it moves and you're not holding a handle, you'll fall. The only way to guarantee you're not going to fall is to hold the handle firmly. The Prophet didn't say to the Muslims, just love my Ahlul Bayt. He said, hold on to them. The only school of thought that truly holds on to the Ahlul Bayt in every aspect of deen is the school of Ahlul Bayt, is the Shia school of thought. When it comes to my belief system, my sources are Ali ibn Abi Talib and Nahj al-Balagha. When it comes to my inspiration to be generous and patient, my symbol is Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Mujtaba. When it comes to my passion to fight against injustice, my inspiration is Al-Imam Al-Husayn. When it comes to spirituality and supplication, my inspiration is Al-Imam Zain Al-Abideen. When it comes to knowledge and legal studies and fiqh, my inspiration is Al-Imam Al-Baqir, Al-Imam Ja'far Al-Sadiq alayhi salam, such that we're honored to be called the Ja'fari. Everything I have is from Ahlul Bayt. Can this be applied to any other school of thought out there? When the Prophet said, hold on to the Quran and my Ahlul Bayt. I am a Shia because I'm following this instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, by holding on to the Ahlul Bayt in every detail of my life, in my history, in my theology, in my understanding of the Quran, and in my legal studies as well. And I'm honored that the living Imam, the Imam whom I recognize as the Imam of my time, is from the Ahlul Bayt. He is the descendant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and that's Al-Imam Al-Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala faraja. I'm the only one from all these schools of thought who knows I have a living Imam who's infallible, who's from the Ahlul Bayt, who does not separate from the Quran. And the Prophet said, the one who dies without an Imam shall die the death of Jahiliyyah. All Muslims have narrated this. I know who my Imam is. Does every school of thought know who their living Imam is? When Allah asks them about their Imam, who are they going to answer? The school of Ahlul Bayt with full clarity tells me who the Imams are. I'm a Shia because my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi made it very clear that after me, there will be 12 Imams, leaders, Khalifas from Quraysh. My school of thought shows me who those 12 are one by one, by name. I know when they were born, where they were born, what they said, what their legacy was. Ask other Muslims, who are these 12? Tell me. Is the Prophet going to say something vague? Is the Prophet going to just keep it a mystery for us? Yeah, there's 12 Imams, but you poor Muslims, you'll never figure out who they are. Then what's the point of telling me they're 12? Don't even bother telling me they're 12 if I'm never going to figure it out. Ask other schools of thought, who are these 12? They start, okay, Abu Bakr, Uthman, Umar, Ali, and then some of them mention Al-Hasan, and then Muawiyah, some of them, and then who? Yazid? Yazid is the fifth one? The leaders of Bani Umayyah, they're your imams? Are these the imams who are going to represent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? That's where it stops. You don't know who's going to be the next imam. My school of thought, with full clarity, shows to me who the 12 Imams are. I have details about their lives and their legacy. That's why I'm a Shia and I proudly follow these 12 Imams. I'm a Shia because in my theology and belief system, Allah is the one who chooses the Imams for me, not people. My dear brothers and sisters, the Imams, they represent who? Who do they represent? Do they represent the people? No. Where? Where does the Quran say that the Prophet or the Imam represents people? Does he represent society? No. He represents Allah, the King of the universe, and Rasulullah, the best creation of Allah. That's the word Khalifa. That's what it means. Khalifa to Rasulullah means the successor who has been appointed to represent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi. My theology, my Shia theology tells me only Allah has the right to choose these people, not you people. Yes, you want to choose a mayor? Choose a mayor who's going to run your city. Fine. Go ahead and do that. But not with imama. This is something only Allah chooses. Now, when you look at other schools of thought, you ask them, how is your imam chosen? Yeah, let the people gather. In some saqifa, anyone they choose, we accept that. They tell you by shura. Really, the shura? When did the Prophet ever say that through shura you choose your imam? Show me. Show me one hadith. Show me one verse in the Quran that tells you that shura is a mechanism to choose the Khalifa. Show me. If this is such an important discussion and reality, why doesn't the Prophet explain to us how does the shura work? Who gets to choose? What are the conditions? And why didn't Abu Bakr go by the Shura? He directly appointed Umar ibn al-Khattab. What's going on here? But with my Shia faith, it's very clear. Allah chooses the Imam. Because Allah says in the Holy Quran, Inni ja'iluka lin-nasi imama. Allah is the one who designates the Imam. You want the word Khalifa? Ya Dawood, Inna ja'alnaka Khalifa. Dawood, we've appointed you as the Khalifa. Any word that you want, you'll find in the words of the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, that's something that Allah will only designate. In my school of thought, I am proud that Allah chooses me my leader. Because my leaders, I trust them 100%. And I can only trust someone 100% if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses them for me. I am a Shia because those who have wilaya and guardianship from Allah are those who the Quran makes a reference to. I want everyone here to memorize this verse, 555. If anyone asks you, why are you Shia? Tell them it's because of 555. Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 55. Allah tells you who your guardians are. Innama. Innama in Arabic is adatu hasrin. It's a restrictive phrase, which means only. Innama waliyukum Allah. Allah is your guardian. You follow Allah unconditionally. Who else? وَرَسُولُهُ and his messenger. He's your guardian in all matters, religion, world, everything. Rasulullah is your guide and guardian. And who's the third one? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا those who believe. Ya Quran, tell me, who are those believers who believe? It can apply to anyone who is a believer. No, the Quran gives you specific descriptions. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ they are those who gave the zakat in the state of ruku'. And when you analyze history, this happened with Amir al-Mu'mineen. Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, when he extended his hand to give that act of charity to the poor person. The Imam was in Nafila prayer, in Mustahab prayer. The man came. He didn't want to be delayed. Please give me something. The Imam just extended his hand and he gave him his ring. He is my Imam who has that guardianship. That's why I'm a Shia. I'm a Shia because at Ghadir, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi declared to the world who the Wali is. Right? Didn't he say, Man kuntu mawla fahada aliyun mawla? Now other Muslims, you know what they say here? They say, yeah, the Prophet meant Ali is a friend because one of the meanings of Mawla is friend. You know what I would say to that? I say two quick things here. I would say Rasulullah is going to strand 120,000 companions in the hot desert under the sun. And the poor companions, they just finished their Hajjat al-Wada' with the Prophet. People are tired after your Hajj. What do you want to do? Who's gone to Hajj here? What do you want to do right after Hajj? You just want to go home. You want to go to your family. You want to rest. The Prophet strands them 3 days in the desert just so he can tell them, Ali is my friend. What logic are you going by? Secondly, fine, I accept that the Prophet was just saying he's his friend. If Rasulullah, the messenger of God, the greatest creation of God, strands 120,000 people in the desert. They're tired. They want to go home. Just to tell them Ali is my friend, then believe me, no one other than Ali deserves to be followed after Rasulullah. If the Prophet is so sensitive, he's so sensitive about Ali, he tells the world he's my friend and he'll strand 100,000 companions. You better know who Ali ibn Abi Talib is. You better follow Ali ibn Abi Talib after the Prophet. If it's just about friendship, the Prophet goes to this great measure. What about guardianship? What about wilaya? What about khilafah? Even their interpretation, believe me, proves that I am on the right path in following Ali ibn Abi Talib. And who can you follow? Who can you find better than Ali ibn Abi Talib? On the night of migration, when the Prophet asked him to sleep in his bed, did the Prophet find any other companion trustworthy to give him the secret and to ask him to sleep in his bed? If Rasulullah found Ali the most worthy of being trusted, why am I following other people other than Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam? When Ali ibn Abi Talib never doubted Allah, look at the Quran. Look at the battle of Al-Ahzab, the battle of Khandaq. You know how the Quran describes the companions? بلغت القلوب الحناجر. Your hearts leaped into your mouth. Have you seen when you're so scared, you feel like your heart is coming out of your mouth? That's how the Quran describes the companions on the day of Khandaq. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. And you started to doubt Allah. Is He going to give us victory? On that day, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam goes and he strikes Amr ibn Wad, and the Prophet gives him a medal. And the Prophet says, ضَرْبَةُ عَلِيٍّ يَوْمَ الْخَنْدَقِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الثَّقَلَيْنِ. The strike of Ali, just one strike on that day, is better than the worship of human beings throughout history. Why should I follow someone else when I have a leader like Ali ibn Abi Talib? That's why I'm a Shia. Because I'm a Shia, I only recognize Imam Ali as the true 100% source after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. I'm a Shia because my view of the companions is in line with the Quran. The Quran tells you there are two companions. Minhum man yuridu dunya. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Isn't this the word of God? Allah says there are two companions. The first group are those who want dunya, this world. And then there are those who want the akhirah. My dear brothers and sisters, if the Quran's telling me there are companions who want dunya, should I follow people who want dunya? I'm a Shia because that's what I learned from the Quran. Follow the companions who take you to Allah because they want the akhirah. Not the companions who wanted the dunya and they were hypocrites according to the Quran. I'm a Shia because my view is reflected by the Quran. What do other schools of thought tell you? Other schools of thought, they tell you no. Any one of them that you follow, you'll be guided. They're all good. They're all just. That's not compatible with the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran rebukes many of them. أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. You companions, if the Prophet dies or is killed, you fall back on your heels? I would not follow someone who will fall back on their heels. That is why I'm a Shia, my dear brothers and sisters. We need to know our belief system and have yaqeen over it. I'm a Shia because when I look at my salah, I see my salah is the most beautiful, complete salah that you'll ever see. I stand before Allah with my hands down to show my full submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seriously, just look at the way we stand in our salah. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi praying. How do you visualize him praying? Standing as a slave, lowering his head, and his hands are to his sides. My salah is the one that teaches me when you do sujood to worship God, do sujood on something people don't worship. Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam teaches you people worship food and people worship clothing. Isn't it so? We spend billions of dollars on our stomach and our clothing. The Imam says Allah wants you to prostrate on the earth, on the dust, because you want to show your full humility to Allah. You don't want to prostrate on anything that the people of dunya worship. That's the beautiful prayer. With my prayer after Surah Al-Fatiha, we recite a full chapter. You know where's the beauty in that? Every chapter in the Quran is a complete chapter. Which one indicates more respect for an author? If you read part of the chapter and you leave, or you read the entire chapter, which one's more effective? In my school of thought, I recite a full chapter, showing more concern and more respect to the Holy Quran, because I recite an entire chapter benefiting from an entire chapter. I am a Shia, my dear brothers and sisters, because my school of thought teaches me who the wasila is. You know how Allah starts creation of the human being? After Allah creates Adam, what does He command the angels to do? What does He command them to do? He commands them to prostrate to who? To who? To Adam, right? Doesn't Allah command the angels to prostrate to Adam? Now, according to these other schools of thought, no, that's shirk. What do you mean? Prostrate to Adam. That's what the Quran says. The only one who refused was Iblis. Iblis said, no, Allah, I won't prostrate to Adam. I'll prostrate only to you. Allah kicked him out. Allah says, I have a wasila. There's a path. Now that I created Adam, you come to me through Adam. He's my prophet. He's my khalifa. Show him respect. Take him as the wasila. Then I'll accept your worship. All the angels accepted, except Iblis. He's the one who did not accept. My theology in shafa'ah and in wasila is the closest to the Holy Quran, is in line with how even the human being started. My dear brothers and sisters, there is so much more to mention, but we have to have yaqeen with our faith. My final point, I'm a Shia because my school of thought shows me how to be loyal to Rasulullah by respecting his family. Which sect out there, which school of thought out there shows respect for the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, like the Shia school of thought? Which school out there shows sorrow for the tragedies of the Ahlul Bayt, like the followers of Ahlul Bayt? The grandson of Rasulullah is killed mercilessly. My school of thought teaches me to grieve for Imam al-Hussein, to take his day of killing as a day of sadness, to show my love by establishing majalis for the Ahlul Bayt, speaking about their honor. I show loyalty to the Prophet's family and to the Prophet himself through my school of thought. And finally, tonight, as we remember the legacy of Abu Talib, the uncle of Rasulullah, the defender of Rasulullah. No one defended Rasulullah in Mecca like Abu Talib did. What do other schools of thought say about him? Look at their books. They tell you he died as a mushrik, and Bukhari tells you he's in dahdahan min nar. He is in a very shallow water of hell, water of fire. Subhanallah, Abu Talib defended your prophet. He did not allow the pagans to kill him. He was there always for him. He died protecting Islam. And you condemn him and you say that he did not die with faith? What kind of school of thought is that? Is that how you show your loyalty to the prophet? And then subhanallah, look at the fabricated hadiths that they've invented. Bukhari tells you that Surah At-Tawbah, verse 113, this is the tafsir of it. They'll tell you when Abu Talib was dying, the Prophet came to him. He told him, Ya Am, Qul la ilaha illallah, say la ilaha illallah. He refused. Abu Jahl was there intimidating him, right? He refused. He refused, so he died not accepting that. He did not accept the oneness of Allah. And then Bukhari says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse prohibiting the Prophet to do istighfar for Abu Talib. Which verse? 113 of Surah At-Tawbah. مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى. The Prophet is not allowed to do istighfar for the mushrikeen, even if they're family. And also the believers too. Subhanallah, the one who invented this hadith, he forgot the chronology of events in the Quran. Where did Abu Talib die? In Mecca. When was Surah At-Tawbah revealed? 10 years later in Medina. It seems he messed that up. He forgot that. Surah At-Tawbah was revealed 10 years after the death of Abu Talib. Bukhari tells you, no, when Abu Talib passed away and he died on kufr, Allah revealed this verse. Subhanallah. As they say, the liar, the forger has no memory, right? My school of thought honors Abu Talib. My school of thought says he is the single most defender of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi in Mecca. So with these brief points, my dear brothers and sisters, I wanted to present an overview. I know you know these points, but sometimes we have to be able to articulate them. Let your children, your family articulate these points. Carry the wilayah of Ahlul Bayt always in your heart and be proud that you are a follower of Muhammadin wa Aliyin wa Fatima wal Hassan wal Hussein. We respect other Muslims. They are our brothers. We live with them. We coexist with them. We have good ties. But at the end of the day, no one can take away my pride in the wilayah of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Salawatullahi alayhi. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi.